20. He's to the 25. 30, 35, 40. He's down the sideline. 50. I think he's going to go. He's to the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdowns.
Hey, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our 134th podcast, betting Notre Dame, Ohio State, and college football was just around the corner. Hey, who scored? Was it the Buckeyes that scored, or was it one of the Fighting Irish running backs? Well, this is what we're going to talk about. Some of you love the Fighting Irish like I do, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I am a Notre Dame graduate, but when it comes to betting against Ohio State in Columbus, whoa, as they said in The Wizard of Oz, that's a horse of another color. So as we promised in our post-podcast advertising on Twitter and Facebook, we're going to tell you how you can bet on both teams and still win both bets. Is it impossible? No, it's not. And we did it for the national championship in basketball with North Carolina and the University of Kansas. So we'll tell you how to do it for Notre Dame and Ohio State. But first, we want to talk about the issues and the strengths for both teams. And let's welcome our generally traditional listeners today and our new listeners, and particularly those who are listening because it's sportsbook betting here we're talking about. We will also be talking about Craps Talk today, and we'll have the sportsbook betting section first, and we're going to go now, and then we'll return with Crabs Talk for today's podcast. And Janie will be back next podcast. Yay! Yeah, let's hear it for the girl. All the kids love Janie in our digital audience. Okay, so let's get started with Notre Dame football 2022-2023. Notre Dame has had five consecutive 10-win seasons, and within the last 5 years, they appeared in the college football playoffs twice. They didn't do very well in both appearances. But will they be back again this year? Because Ohio State is predicted to be back by ESPN's analyst, and they suggest that Ohio State will face Alabama for the national championship. But is Notre Dame going to be in that mix? Well, certainly a win at Columbus in the opening game of the season would be a big positive, right? And of course, I'm saying even if they play well, it'd be a good positive. But let's talk about the major issue for Notre Dame, which makes them a 13.5 underdog, 13.5 point underdog. So the Irish are dogs against the mighty Buckeyes, and I would agree, rightfully so. And we'll be drawing on a lot of the great reporting by Brian Driscoll of Irish Breakdown. That's a podcast also on YouTube. Fantastic. Brian Driscoll, Irish Breakdown. And Notre Dame does have quarterback questions and quarterback competition, and they have to be settled in a positive way. And somebody has to break out and give Notre Dame a chance to win at Columbus, Ohio. So let's talk about the 2022 quarterback depth chart at Notre Dame. Well, last season, Wisconsin transferring in his senior year, Jack Cohn, was the answer to Notre Dame's quarterback problems after the graduation of Ian Book. And Jack struggled at times, but still he led the Irish to a 10-win season. And I think he also signed on somewhere in the NFL. I don't think he was drafted, but I think he signed on somewhere in the NFL. So certainly we wish him well. But what was left was sophomore Tyler Buckner, and he played basically last year as a runner who would come in to give Cohn a break or if Jack Cohn wasn't doing well. Also junior Drew Pine came in. That's someone that was very effective against Wisconsin and Cincinnati. But unfortunately, Tyler was out for the spring game. It was a non-football injury. He actually tripped walking down steps at Notre Dame with a professor discussing a course. Oh, what a tough break. And that's not a pun. It wasn't broken, but it was a severe sprain of an ankle. And they kept him out of the spring game. But Drew went in, and Drew was just simply terrible. I mean, so Drew's known for his leadership. He's a raw kind of guy, Drew Pine. But he just played horribly. It reminded me of the Irish quarterback, Phil Jakovic, who went on to Boston College. He transferred. He had a spring game in which he threw 5 interceptions, and he had no choice but to leave because the coaching staff just lost faith in him. I'm not saying that's going to be the case with Drew Pine, because Drew is known for his accuracy, much like an Ian Book. You know, he's a smaller stature, but he's very intelligent in terms of football, and he's a natural leader. So both these kids have a lot to prove. Tyler came out of California the year that the pandemic caused California to cancel the football season in high school. So he didn't play since his junior year. And I would say he did do well considering all that. I think he's an exceptional athlete. You know, some say he's the first 5-star quarterback prospect at Notre Dame. Well, when you think about all the great quarterbacks at Notre Dame, I think we have to make a little clarity here. The 5-star rating system didn't come in until the century change, 2001 maybe. I think maybe 2002. So when you talk about a quarterback like Joe Theismann, Joe Montana, Terry Hanratty, and you go back further, Angelo Bartali, Johnny Lujack, Paul Hornung, these were all great Notre Dame quarterbacks. In fact, Paul Hornung won the Heisman. I think Lujack did as well. So there were great quarterbacks throughout the storied history of Notre Dame football, but the 5-star rating system didn't come in again until 2001, 2002. And I think that it's true that Tyler, I think he was 30th in the rankings, and said would make him a true 5-star quarterback prospect. First one, but not forever, only since the change of the century. Tyler's a runner and maybe better than an Everett Golson or Malik Zaire, you know, option quarterbacks. DeShone Kizer, of course, was a great college passer. Not so great in the NFL, but he was a great college passer. And I would say that Buckner can pass as well as Kizer, but he did throw for 53 touchdowns in his junior season in high school. 53 touchdowns and over 4,500 yards. You know, hey, that's something. But nonetheless, he has to do it in Columbus in the opening game. But he's a runner in the way Johnny Manziel was a runner. He can go. If he gets outside, he has elite speed, and he's a shifty dude. And so can he keep his composure, and can he compete against the Buckeyes with their strong defense in the way that we would desire him to as a Notre Dame fan? Drew Pine bounced back. I mean, he has tools. He has athletic ability, and he's a little bit of a runner too. But he's more recognized for his passing ability, particularly his accuracy, which turned out to be a nightmare in the spring game. But maybe that just happens once in a while. But he's not, I don't think he's considered a starter right now. I think Buckner is. But, you know, if he has a great fall camp and he challenges for the starting role, I think the coaching staff will give him a chance. But who's going to start at Columbus? They're going to keep that a company secret. That's for certain. And the third quarterback is named Steve Angeli, and he's a freshman. He came to Notre Dame in the late spring, which is very common now for high school athletes at Division I schools to get permission to graduate from their high school, but they would leave in the spring and go start their college career, maybe take one course, but they would be there for spring football practice. It's just a common thing that's done. And Steve Angeli came in at the end of the spring game, very composed for a freshman, and he actually led his squad to blue-gold game. He led his team to a winning drive and a touchdown, which he ran in himself in a very impressive manner. So if there's a disaster with Buckner and there's a disaster with Drew Pine, then it's going to be up to Steve Angeli. On the other hand, the Ohio State Buckeyes probably have the best quarterback in college football this year. Maybe you can argue Alabama's Heisman Trophy winner, but I'm going to say no, I think the Buckeyes have the best one. But we'll give you the details on who that is and their stats shortly. On this picture of the quarterback at Notre Dame, there's really some key questions. Can Tyler Buckner stay healthy? I'm not talking about misstepping on campus steps in a dormitory or in the walkways on campus. I'm talking about on the football field. So that's going to be the big one. Can he get past the injury bug? Because he is a runner. He's going to get hit. And he's going to get hit by outstanding defensive players at Ohio State. Also, because he was not a starter, missed his senior year in high school, did play last year. He was impressive when he did play. However, can this sophomore handle the pressure of opening up in Columbus, Ohio, with the craziness that that game's going to, this is going to be crazy. It's going to be absolutely nuts there. And can Drew Pine bounce back from an ugly spring game? Can he bounce back? Well, that's a big question. And Steve Angeli, if we have to depend on him, can he come through? So those are the questions. And you can see why Notre Dame is a 13.5-point underdog. Still, the rest of the offense and the defense, I'm not saying the offense is elite, but they're damn good. But the Notre Dame defense is elite. And they may be able to keep Ohio State under 13.5. So we're saying that you bet Notre Dame on the spread. You bet that Notre Dame could lose the game, but they won't lose by more than 14 points. If they lose by 14 points, you won't win the spread bet. But say they lose by 10, then you will win. Because Ohio State has to win by 14 right now if you place the bet now. And so you're going to pick Notre Dame on the spread. Of course, if Notre Dame beats Ohio State, you win, you know. It's irrelevant. You're going to win. But we think Notre Dame will not win in Columbus, but they'll play a good game. They'll be impressive. They're the kind of team with young quarterbacks that will get better every week. But we do think the elite defense at Notre Dame, and Marcus Freeman, the new head coach, was a defensive coordinator in Cincinnati very impressively and did a nice job last year in a 10-win season at Notre Dame, and he inherited the job when Brian Kelly left for LSU. We think Notre Dame will stay under 14 points if they lose the game. So that's our pick with Notre Dame. You will bet Notre Dame, and you will bet them on the spread. But we told you, you can bet Ohio State too. Let's just take a short break and come back and explain how that works and tell you how great Ohio State really is. Ohio State head coach Ryan Day said that no stone will be left unturned in preparing for this game. And Ryan Day means what he says. Here's his exact words. Coach Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame's head coach, does a great job, and it's going to be exciting for everybody involved. It's going to be probably one of the biggest tickets in Columbus in a long time, so it's going to be fun. And it's so important for both teams to get off on a good start. Last year, the college football world and Ohio State and Ryan Day were shocked in week two when they were defeated by Oregon. So for that reason alone, one would think that Ohio State would pour absolutely everything they have into this game. This is a high-profile, non-conference class, a night game. Oh, come on. What a great game. And Ohio State is the favorite team, which, as I said, may be the best quarterback in the country, a great offense, and maybe some questions on defense. But a ton of people would love to have the Ohio State defensive roster. You know, outside of injury, C.J. Stroud, number 7, will be the quarterback for the Buckeyes against the Irish. He's 6'3", weighs 218 pounds, quite an athlete. Last year, he passed for 4,435 yards and 44 touchdowns. He certainly was a Heisman Trophy candidate. But he had one bad game. And, of course, if you followed college football last year, you know that game was against Michigan, as Michigan shocked the Ohio State Buckeyes and maybe saved a coach's job at Michigan. But the big point is C.J. Stroud is a veteran, experienced, winning quarterback, and that's quite different than the Notre Dame quarterback roster that we reviewed. So again, Ohio State is the favored team, but you already bet Notre Dame on the spread. So now, friends, bet Ohio State on the money line. So let's say this happens. Notre Dame loses the game by 12 points. You win that Notre Dame bet, and you also win the Ohio State bet. You win them both. Yeah, an unusual way of betting? Maybe so, but it's very common in Vegas. In fact, I have a family member, a grandson, who is a dealer in Vegas. And for the national championship basketball game, if you recall, that was the University of North Carolina against the University of Kansas. He told me North Carolina was a six-point dog. So he told me that this was happening at the local books in Vegas. He said, hey, bet North Carolina on the spread because they're going to lose the game, but not by 6 points. And bet Kansas on the money line. In a money line bet, all you have to do is win. Win by 1 point or 100 points. Doesn't matter. You have to win. And that's what happened. North Carolina lost the game by 3. So I won my bet. On the spread, I picked North Carolina. So they had to win by 7 for North Carolina to lose. And they only won by 3, Kansas did. But Kansas won the game. So I won that bet too. And so I think this is a perfect game, the Notre Dame-Ohio State game, to do exactly the same thing. Bet the Fighting Irish on the spread, and of course pick the Ohio State Buckeyes on the money line. Now, does that mean I want Notre Dame to lose? Oh, if I win the spread bet because they beat Ohio State, I'll take that. Okay, I'll lose the Ohio State bet. But who cares? Who cares? But I think I have a best chance to win both bets, and that's how I'm going to bet it. It's for entertainment purposes. You do what you want to do. You bet the way you want to do. But if you want to have some fun with this, you're kind of protected in a hedge sort of way. If one wins, you know, you still win the other one. Hey, think about it. Notre Dame on the spread and Ohio State on the money line. All right. We'll be right back with Crabs Talk.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to our ever-popular Crabs Talk, because I'm a craps kind of guy. That's what I'm going to play when I go to a casino. It's going to be a craps table, or a bubble craps, or a cylinder kind of bubble craps with, you know, dollar line bets. I've done it all, but I really enjoy the game because it's not about a computer chip. But one thing you can do if you're a don't pass player, and I am sometimes, hey, sorry everybody, I played both lines. So you can lay the 4 and 10 to cover the come out roll. If a 7 is rolled and let's say you have $20, $25 in a don't pass, well, if you lay the 4 and 10 and a 7 is rolled, you'll win $40. So you're going to put $40 on the 4 and $40 on the 10. Lay bets. Not paying 2 to 1, it's paying 1 to 2. So you're going to win $20 from each one, minus the dollar vig, right? Which in most casinos you pay only when you win. Remember, you can take these bets down, but it does protect you on the come out roll. I sometimes, if I'm really leery and I'm not up a lot of money, I'll hop the 4, hop the hard 4, and hop the hard 10. This gives me protection against a 4 rolling or a 10 rolling. Only have to worry about one at a time, of course. So laying the 4, laying the 10 gives you protection. And, you know, if you lose one of them, you can keep the other one up and just hope you win it back. So think about hedging the dumb pass with these lay bets, because it's 1 to 2, and the same thing with the 10. It's 1 to 2, just the opposite of making an odds bet from the pass line or buying the 4 and 10. So what if a point number, not the 4 or 10, but the other ones, one of them is rolled? What happens next? Well, I can take them down. If I paid a dollar vig in some casinos, I'd get it back. If I didn't pay, I'd just get the $40 bets back on each number. What do? Well, I go one roll. I always go one roll. Take it down after one roll. All right, well, I probably will if I'm at a hot table. If people are rolling a lot of numbers, I probably will. You're probably thinking, well, why am I on a down pass? Well, I'm thinking that too, you know. But I'm still in that in-between stage. Like, should I go to the pass line? Should I place numbers? So on a hot table, I would definitely take it down. On a regular or cold table, I would keep one of them up. I also would make a hard ways bet correspondingly. So if I kept up the lay bet on the 10, I would probably make a $5 hard ways bet on the 10. If I kept up the 4 and took down the 10, which I can do, no harm done, right? but I can also make a hard ways bet, a regular hard ways bet on the four, you know, just to protect myself a little bit. So I'm like, you know, Mr. Head some days, but those are things you can do. All right, so the question was, if I lay the 4 and 10 on the come out, do I take it down after one roll? I do if it's a hot table or getting close to being a hot table. I don't if it's a cold table. I keep one of them up. Now, what about setting dice? Oh, dice control. Well, I don't think anyone can control dice. People might influence dice with sets. And, you know, if you don't believe in dice control or dice influence, I should say, then what do you care what I do, you know? But I do like to throw an inverted six. Talking about the top numbers, I like to throw a 3-3-V, the flying V, right? I like to throw a 5-5 on top with a 4-4 facing me. Hey, the inverted six has a 4-2 facing me. The flying threes have a 6-2 facing me. And finally, I've had some success, particularly on Fremont Street, with a 6-4 on top and a 4-6 facing me. So those are my favorite sets, my four favorite sets. And my longest rolls have always been involved with sets, so I do set the dice, but I don't believe in dice control. Yeah, that's the truth. Is there influence? Maybe. But, you know, the back wall makes the call, and that's the problem. You know, if it hits the back wall, does any set become random? Probably, but what's it matter if I set the dice then, right? It's just something I enjoy doing, and I search for the right set for the right table from the right distance. So that's what I do. And, you know, I'm telling you, have fun with it. That's what makes craps a little different than a slot machine. It's not about a computer chip. It's about how the dice land. And, you know, you would think by how you throw the dice, what numbers you start with might influence maybe how the dice end up. And that's the hope I cling to, right? That these four sets would throw fewer sevens than point numbers. And that's what it comes down to. The inverted sixes, of course, I think throw a lot of craps numbers. I'm all in on that, man, because I'll jump on that parade anytime. Before we leave today, I want to say that I left one Notre Dame quarterback out. And thinking over, Tony Rice, of course, led the Irish to the 1988 national championship under Coach Lou Holtz. And so I think Tyler Buckner is a better passer than Tony Rice, but Tony Rice was one hell of a runner. And I think Tyler Buckner is almost that good, maybe even better. So on to Columbus, and we'll see what happens. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy the game because I'm betting both teams to win. How about that? And now you can too, but it's all about for your entertainment purposes only. All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks. And remember, Casinos USA is still a place where every day is Saturday. So long, everyone.